Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 conference call of HPL Electric & Power Limited, hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mudit Kabra from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Arshia. Good afternoon and happy festive season to all. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you all for the Q2 FY24 and H1 FY24 conference call of HPL Electric & Power Limited. I take this opportunity to welcome the management of HPL Electric & Power, represented by Mr. Gautam, Joint Managing Director and CFO. We will begin the call with a brief overview by.
I'm very sorry, sir. Sir, your voice is not audible. There's a distortion at your end.
Is this better?
No, sir. Could you come again?
Is this better?
Yes, sir. Please go on. Can you reintroduce the management members?
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you all for the Q2 FY24 and H1 FY24 conference call of HPL Electric & Power Limited. I take this opportunity to welcome the management of HPL Electric & Power, represented by Mr. Gautam Seth, Joint Managing Director and CFO. We will begin the call with a brief overview by the management, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Seth for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mudit. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to share that our performance for second quarter FY24 and half-yearly FY24 has demonstrated our ability and preparedness to meet the demands of the shift towards energy efficiency across all our product segments, metering and systems, as well as consumer and industrial. We have showcased credibility in our capabilities to deliver excellence in our execution cycles and in achieving the growth milestone that we have been discussing with you all over the past quarters. Furthermore, our quarterly and half-yearly performance affirms the company's position at the cusp of a new positive growth cycle that we see unfolding over the next three to five years, alongside the government's ambition for smart meter rollout, greater connectivity, and nationwide conscious energy usage transition. Our focus remains on improving our infrastructure, technology, and market reach to maintain our consistent growth and market-leading position, notably in the smart meter, switchgear, and wire and cable segments. In this light, our partnership with Wirepas for RF mesh technology in smart meter communication infrastructure marks a significant stride towards technological excellence, enabling us to meet surging demand for smart metering solutions in a changing energy landscape. In addition, our ongoing specific capacity expansion for smart meters in our factories is an initiative catering to the rising demand with high-precision metering solutions that are durable with high service-level performance. We anticipate continued growth to add to this quarter's strong performance in our metering and systems segment, in line with our positive growth this year. At HPL, we are dedicated to consistently delivering innovative and practical solutions across all our products. In the consumer and industrial segment, the company has achieved significant growth for switchgears and wires in H1 FY24, encouraging a positive trend going towards the second half of the financial year. In LED lighting, we have faced a value erosion as an industry-wide phenomenon due to a change in technology. We anticipate for this to improve and are confident for lighting segment growth to recover by Q4 FY24, adding to our performance of sustained quality growth overall. As we head into the future, we remain committed to operational excellence, financial resilience, and sustainable growth. We are focused on growing revenue, improving our margins, and strengthening key balance sheet ratios towards creating greater shareholder value. We are prepared to answer to India's metering transformation and to benefit from specific government schemes such as RDSS that are geared to improve our energy and housing infrastructure. We look forward to upholding the legacy of durable energy solutions through our ongoing growth journey spanning two decades. On that note, thank you for joining us today and being part of our strategic vision as we embark on a new chapter of high-value growth. Let us begin with the Q&A sessions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Chandresh Malpani from Nevashay Investment Advisory. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, I want to know what is our targeted market share that we are seeing in this entire rollout of 25 crore smart meters?
So, you know, as this is a big opportunity, we would be looking at anywhere between 25% to 30% of the smart meter what would roll out. So that's, I think, internally we look at that. And if you see in the past also, we have maintained a 20% to 25% market share. But, you know, sometimes as we say, it's a little early right now on this, but as we go forward, you will see a lot of orders from the AMI SPs coming to the meter manufacturers, and that is when the true market share can be determined. Because right now, a lot of action what we have seen is basically the utilities placing orders on the AMI SP. So I think anywhere between 25% to 30% should be something which we would be looking at.
So, sir, on this only, sir, what is our approach? Like, are we bidding as an AMISP or we will be just the sole manufacturer of meters and supply to AMISPs? What is our long term, or we can say, what is our view on this?
No, our strategy is very clear that we are a leading manufacturer of smart meters, and we would look to be a leading supplier to the AMISPs, and this would be the primary goal for us. And as you see, a lot of orders are coming to the AMI SPs. But right, after a gap, you know, these get translated back to the meter manufacturers. And that is when we are looking to get a very large share of the meters from that. But apart from that, we have reviewed the ecosystem, and we are like, if you see on the tie-up we have done for the RF mesh. So there are certain other opportunities which are all within the same ecosystem. And so we would go a little beyond the smart meter into, let's say, the communication technologies or even the HES, the head-end software. But the primary focus would remain the supply and you know, in the size of the smart meters. Yeah, that is where the main focus would be. So we are not looking to be as an AMISP, where we could also be financing the project.
Okay. And sir, with this technical tie-up, is it safe to assume that you cater to 75% of the AMI value chain?
No, very difficult to put a number on that, but I would not say that, because anyway, if on a very broad ballpark figure, let's say 1/3 is the financing part, so anyway, I think we are below the 75%. So, but yes, other than smart meters, the communication technology and the whatever that, whether it's an RF or some other technology, that plays a very important role in terms of making the entire system robust, but also on the cost component also. So yes, we would be a little beyond the smart meter, but I don't think it would be 75%, but still it would be covering a lot of the critical areas in terms of cost as well.
Okay. And sir, if you can break up, like if we have to see 25 crore smart meters to be rolled out, so what would be into like single phase, three phase, LTCT and STCT? I guess these four categories are included in this 25 crore number.
Probably, I don't have the figures right away. Probably they could be available on certain public government websites. But the majority in terms, if you look at the quantity, it is going to be the single phase, which is the highest, because they have the highest users. So I'm just going by the existing trend, what is it? Because eventually they are replacing the existing system with a new one. So I guess the usage pattern and the population would remain the same. So it's going to be maximum the single phase, and then thereafter it goes up, yeah.
Okay. And sir, lastly, we see that HPL part exhibited at few expos recently. So what has been your any comments on that?
No, it's good. As in HPL, we are continuously, we are reaching out to our customers, because looking at our product profile, we are focused in almost every kind of segment, whether it is domestic or retail or even commercial, industrial, city infrastructure, which is the municipal corporations, and the utilities, and which now through utilities to the AMISPs. So we are reaching out to all the customers. So recently we did have a couple of exhibitions. So there was a wire and cable one, which was more focused on the specific customers, including the infrastructure segment for the wire and cable. We had the renewable energy one, where our solar products were there. So we are continuously participating, and we reach out to various customers. And definitely the exhibitions make a good way to connect or to even get to break into new customers.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Ms. Mitali Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for sharing this opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Could you talk about the company's recent revenue growth, particularly in the first half of FY24, and the expectations of revenue and profit in the upcoming quarters? Also, how are the changes in our operating expenses affecting the profitability?
Okay. Yeah, so we have seen a decent growth in the H1, and primarily led by metering, where we did 23% growth. And of course, the order book has been, if you see the fresh orders taken in the first half have been quite good right now. And the execution in the second half has picked up, where we see now on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the execution should become much more stronger and much better. In terms of meters also, we are anticipating, as the inquiries are also very large right now, through the AMISPs. So we are anticipating a good second half for the metering. And I'll take it up product by product, so it will be easy for you to understand. So in meters, we are having a lot of inquiries, and we do anticipate that within the Q3 itself, or maybe in Q4, we should be getting in again a lot of large orders. So that should look at a very good second half, and even going forward, maybe in the next 1 to 2 years, the order pipeline and the execution should be good. Now, looking at even switchgears, if you look at, we've had a 22% growth. So switchgear within the consumer and industrial also has been a steady growth. Of course, switchgear also has a very good margin profile. So that is something where we are again anticipating a good second half. Wire and cable, we have seen growths the complete year. Even in the first half, we have had 17% growth. And I think even going forward, there also we are pretty confident. Only in lighting, in LED lighting, although the volume has been fairly stable, the value degrowth has been there because of the erosion in value of the unit values of a lot of items because of change in technology. And I think this is quite an industry-wide phenomena because when we look at the entire industry or even our peers or competitors who are there, I think many of them have reported a drop in the values. So somehow I think with every change in technology or sometimes over the years we do see certain of these things affecting the lighting. But I think going forward, by at least Q4, we anticipate that the value growths as well as the volume growths will come back, and so that should become better. But overall, if you see, bulk of our portfolio is today performing well. We do see a good upside in the second half going forward. Now, regarding the operating expenses, in the first half, our overall as a company, we've grown 12%. And I think the operating expenses have still gone up by 3%. So of course, certain fixed cost remains the same. And I think even going forward, we do anticipate a better second half. And hopefully, we should be looking at controlling these expenses to have a better margin from the business.
Sure. Also, if you can just update us on your export performance. Are we looking at any particular geographies as high growth opportunities?
Yeah, our exports have been steadily growing. I think the good thing about exports is that the last 2 to 3 years we have built up a consistent performance across the geographies where we are. And even in terms of repeat businesses, in terms of entering new geographies, so there's been a fairly stable export growth. The second half, because there have been a lot of inquiries which we have been right now pursuing, and we feel the second half will be much better because right now, in terms of order book, our growth is only about 9.3%. But maybe going forward, we are anticipating a better second half. And but there's a lot of certifications also we could do for our products for international certification, which we have completed in the first half. So all that should bring in a couple of new, fresh opportunities for us. Now, in terms of geographies, if you see, Africa has been the fastest growing for us, but even the Middle Eastern Gulf or the SAARC countries have been fairly good for us. So hopefully this is something which, going forward again, we do anticipate a good growth going forward on this.
Right. Also, could you discuss the company's approach to the capital expansion for smart meters, as mentioned? Why was this done, and how will it help us in our capacity?
No, sorry, can you repeat the last part of the question, please?
Okay. I'll just repeat my question. If you could discuss the company's approach to the capital expansion for the smart meters, as mentioned, why was this done, and how will it help us in our capacity?
Yeah, so generally, if you look at our capacity for the smart meter manufacturing is in place, and we have been, our executions have been going up. But when we look at the inquiries, what are there, and also partly the orders which we already have in our order book, I think the supplies of smart meter should really pick up, in Q3, Q4 more specifically. But by next year, sometimes it should peak, and any capacity expansion, what we are doing is more specific in nature because there are a few manufacturing processes which we feel require much more capacity looking at the peak requirements to come in Q4 and the next year. So only those kind of specific aspects are being undertaken. Also, since the volumes are huge and a lot of standardization is there in terms of the models and the specifications. So a lot of projects are underway right now for the automation, so to have a better, manufacturing through automated processes and to have a better utilization or output of data coming in. So these type of projects are going on, and accordingly, our CapEx has been structured on this part of the business. So overall, when we look at next year, that is where we will see the smart meters rollout to be very, very strong. And with a lot of new orders expected to come in, I think that is where this capacity expansion and, you know, with these automation, we expect even a faster and a better output coming out from the production lines here. So that should help us definitely in the future period here.
This is just my last question. How are we thinking on the smart meter trajectory over the next few years? Do we see any changes in the technology or is it stable?
So definitely the technology, you know, any electronic product has a change in technology and that is the nature of, because, you know, one has a flexible way of designing the products. So if you look at the smart meters, if you go back even the last two decades, you know, every 5 years we have seen the change in technology of meters, you know, from a regular electronic meter to a smart meter. We have, as a company, seen the transition, and each time the next generation with better products, much more cost competitive products, better communication technologies being adopted. So we have seen that cycle, and right now we have what we all understand as a smart meter. Now, going forward, if you look at it, the technologies will change, but right now one has to understand that the standards and the specification of the meters, which we are talking about with the AMISPs and the utility, they are frozen. So although there would be, this is my guess, that there would be different ways of probably reaching those specifications, which will be much more advanced and other things. But broadly, the specifications under the, let's say, the first phase of the smart meter rollout would remain the same, because these are frozen by the government and the AMISP and our customers. So that is how it would be. But going forward, when we look at, let's say, after 7 to 10 years, when we look at the next phase of smart meters coming in, there would definitely be much more smarter meters coming in, maybe with better connectivities, maybe totally redesigned with even effective costs and design. So a lot of things will happen, and I'm sure our R&D, our teams, what we have, I would believe they are fairly, we have a good R&D team focusing on not only the smart meter, but also all the related technologies what go along with that in the entire smart metering ecosystem. So I think a lot of, we will see a lot of changes happening in technology, and the ability to cope up with those change or even drive those changes suitable for the Indian conditions is something what we will look at. And also, we just to mention that if you look at the capability what we have, because post the rollouts what we do in India, which would be probably the largest in the world, I would believe that any manufacturer in India who is sufficiently doing a good amount of work can look at the export markets in a big way. And international markets are also already, some of them are moving to the smart meters. But I would say the bulk of the requirements internationally would also come into the smart meters. So maybe that can open out, new markets for us. Because the existing, designs what we have, or the technologies what we have, and the capability to change will help us to go into those markets in a bigger way. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you so much, and all the best to the HPL team.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Aman from Aman Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. First of all, congratulations on a good set of results. Happy to see a good margin increase. Am I audible, sir?
No. Can you be louder, please?
Yeah. Now is it clear?
Yes.
Please go on.
Perfect. Okay, sure. Thank you. So I was saying congratulations on the set of results and seeing the margin expand further. Sir, I have two questions and I'll join again in the queue. First, I wanted to understand our current capacity utilizations and also how are we managing our receivables so that we can cater to these large orders and improve the matrices which we are talking about, ROC, ROE going forward. I'll ask
sorry,
the second question.
Aman, I missed your second question, the first part, please.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sir, at first I asked that what is our current capacity utilization and how are we going to manage our margins with the high receivables with at the same time catering the large orders which we are going to get or we are probably executing them currently. So on, if you can just highlight how we will increase the ROCE and ROE and the margins with such high receivables.
Yeah, so regarding the current capacity utilization, I think at least in three out of the four product categories what we have, I think our capacity utilizations have gone up. Now, more specifically, if you look at the metering, I would say we should be anywhere between 70 to 75% of our capacity. As I said earlier in the question also that there are some specific upgradations what we are doing in the capacity, which are normally in process items, what we are doing. So that will further enhance our capacity. But right now, looking at the last three quarters and maybe even the next three quarters what are there, we would see a quarter-on-quarter enhancement of our capacity. So right now, looking at, let's say, a window of 6 months, 1 year, broadly we have sufficient capacity to take on the orders what we have. But yes, we do anticipate this part to really peak by next year, and that is when the peak demand would be probably much higher than what we are currently anticipating. So that is how we are looking at it. In terms of even switchgear and wire and cable, we have seen certain good growth, and similarly the capacity, broadly you can say it's 30 to 75% of the capacity utilization at times it was. So that's where we are. Looking at the receivables, the margins, even going forward, hopefully we should be, the way the Q2 has performed, we should be able to maintain those kind of margins going forward. And probably in Q4 months, much more smart meter and the metering business really expands. I'm sure the margins could be better from that side. In terms of receivables, our receivables have gone up because obviously of the sales. But as more and more smart meter percentage goes up, which would happen somewhere in Q4 and then in the next year, that is when we will see a much better payments, more specific dated payments coming, because a lot of those contracts what we have are against firm LC payments, and that is when we will see the debtors to come down, like in a normal business, unlike what we had in the utility business. So overall, I think by next year we should see certain change in the working capital cycle of the smart meters, and but that will only happen when almost 80-90% of the meters being supplied would be the smart meter, which I think should happen sometime next year, and hopefully we should see a much better working capital cycle. And to answer more specifically, if you look at the return on capital employed, currently it is I think about 9.5%, but just if you go back maybe 1-2 years, we have seen certain improvements, and hopefully by next year we are well above this, maybe at 12% plus. So things I think are in a much more positive growth cycle. But I think as we go forward, we should see certain better margins, better revenue, and also certain balance sheet key ratios, which we hope should also be much better.
Okay, sir. So the second question which I had, on the healthy balance sheets of both the DISCOM and local agencies, you had mentioned that the major rollout will be happening the next year. So with on these healthy balance sheets, as an AMISP, I am not seeing that energy that you are meaning to say more of manufacturing side. Which states are we targeting mostly, and how do we see the rollouts to happen in these states going forward? So that is first part. Second and last answer as a follow.
No, so our, we have been in energy, we have been in electronic energy meters since 1996. So, so since last so many years, we have been a pan-India player always. We have been supplying to practically every state, all the central utilities and even the government organizations plus the private players. Now, the pan-India, and right now the entire game is shifted through the AMISPs. So there are a couple of large AMISPs who have taken contracts in various states. So it's not they are doing it in one state or two states, but maybe across it. So for us, the entire the market is all open. The entire pan-India market is open. So we are not targeting specifically against one state or another, but it is generally we are targeting the business, and that is what we are hopeful to close and go forward. So, but yes, just on one point what you made, that, you know, a lot of orders, and I'm just clarifying that a lot of orders currently have been given to the AMI SPs by the utilities, but then they also have to offload those orders to the meter manufacturers. So definitely there is a gap between that happening, and when we also get the order.
So, not just being an AMI SP and a manufacturer, it gives both advantages, if I'm getting it right from your sense.
No. It's a separate business model, because in AMI SP, one has to finance the projects for 10 years. It's a different different mindset, I would say, a different way of working, and a totally different financial model, what is there in AMI SP. But there are large companies who have got into that and who are doing it. Similarly, our focus is on the meter manufacturing. So I'm just talking about that. The current orders, what we hear about on the news, are a lot of orders going to the AMI SPs, and by the time those orders translate to the meter manufacturers, there is probably a lag of maybe 3 to 4 months. That is when the orders to us would start accruing, and thereafter the supplies would start.
Perfect. So in the last call, just to follow up your answer, in the last call you had mentioned the lag from the AMI SP to the manufacturer is around 6 to 8 months. Has it reduced to 3 to 4 months? Am I getting it right? Or it was generally 3 to 4 months?
No, I just clarify. Let's say the almost the 2,000 crore orders what we have, those for us to start supplying those on confirmed orders, normally there is a gap of 6 to 8 months. So if you see the orders we received in the first quarter, many of those first supplies would start probably in Q3 or in Q4. That is how it is. But, you know, as the AMI SPs are taking the orders, any when they take the orders, they have really tested our solutions, our products.
And sir, sorry to interrupt. Sir, your voice is not clear, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, please. So I was just saying
that when confirmed orders are coming from the AMI SP to the manufacturers, that is when a lead time of 6 to 9 months is required. And the gap is not because of the meter manufacturers, it is because of the ability of the AMI SP and the utility to receive those meters and install them. So there is a lot of preparation work happening at the utility and AMI SP. They can take in the smart meters and install them. The gap of 3 months, what I'm talking about is when an AMI SP receives the order, he needs to offload it. And, you know, his time starts immediately. So there are, deadline schedules which are involved. There are other things. So that is when. But still, by the time they evaluate and they give it, certain time gap is always there. But so that is it. So there is certain lag of gap when, let's say, we as a manufacturer would get it from AMI SP, and thereafter the preparation work happening by everybody in the ecosystem so that the meters can be supplied, which of course is about 6 to 9 months.
Perfect. Sir, if you have, in RDSS scheme, the second question is, in the RDSS scheme, there is 1.5 lakh crore also allocated to distribution infrastructure. So do we have any plans to monetize the distribution infrastructure as well? Or whether our alternative business, which is non-metering segment, are we benefiting it from in that vertical? I just wanted your comments, sir.
On a macro level, I would not be, you know, I won't know what it could be. But for us, as a integrated manufacturer of all electrical products, so meter, of course, is a very strong component in the RDS scheme where the smart metering is happening. Now, apart from that, since last couple of months, a lot of our switchgear items are also going in the RDS scheme, almost in the similar installations. Now, we have seen interest coming on the wire and cable also. So, overall, when the distribution infrastructure is getting upgraded, definitely it provides an opportunity for a company like us to have all their products spec'd in and have the you know, supplies going there. So definitely it is going to help our other products as well. And this one being a very large scale resetting of the distribution infrastructure, so definitely I think every product, whether it's wire cable, switchgear, or I'm talking about the industrial part of switchgears or even the domestic one, so every product has an opportunity, and we are already exploiting it through the various contractors or the installers who are working on the field.
So the lines for the questioner dropped. We are going to announce for more questions. Participants, you may press star and one if you want to ask a question to the management. We will wait for a moment for the question queue to assemble. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Mudit Kabra from Elara Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations on great set of numbers, sir. Firstly, can we have the growth numbers for wires and cables and switchgear segments specifically for Q2?
No, I think I have the H1 figures. I think it's about, but it's almost on a similar pattern. If you see switchgear is, I think, 22% in the first half. And both the quarters, we have seen certain good growth coming in. And similarly in wire and cables. So I think this is because wire and cables, even last entire year, we had almost 20% growth. So overall, when we look at these two segments, because of the a lot of infrastructure spending, because of the housing coming back, I think that is where we are seeing a growth across both these segments. So although when we look at the overall consumer and industrial, barring lighting, which has certain changes in the industry, overall the pricings have come down. But other than that, these two segments have seen a good growth. Also in cable and wire, we see a continuous business of to the telecom sector for the 5G cable. So we are seeing that also steadily increase. In fact, in just the last 2 months, we have closed two new customers in the 5G segment. And so somehow, the specialization, what we have been doing in the last 3 to 4 years, so that is gaining much more momentum. But that's also a continuous business which would at least go on for the next 1 to 2 years. So overall, those segments are both, we do see growth in the second half as well.
Fair, sir. Thank you. And secondly, if I'm doing the maths within the order book, smart meters might have grown by 17% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, while other than smart meters in the metering segment, looks to have dropped by 38% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Is this attributable to some sort of demand weakness?
No, frankly, I didn't catch the match, but just one thing, we are sitting on about over 2,000 crores of overall orders, and the bulk of them, of course, are the metering. Now, apart from the smart meters, still certain states are giving in the regular meter orders for just to cover up the gap while the installations are going on, and maybe for some more quarters that will also go on. But the bulk of the orders, what we have right now, are all smart meter orders. And even going forward, the bigger inquiries what we have are all smart meters. So as a trend, yes, the smart meters would really go up in a big way, and maybe somewhere in the middle of next year or maybe even a little beyond that, we would see almost most of them being only smart meters. But, still it depends on the pace of the execution, what the utilities and the AMISPs can have. and that is when we will see the we will also see the full change happening.
All right, sir. One last question, sir. We had 1.1 crore smart meter installations in the last year, as you've guided in the presentation. Any guidance on FY24 target installation numbers?
No, those are that is the capacity number I think you're talking about. So we roughly, let's say we are at maybe 60-70% capacity last year. But this year it will definitely the numbers will be better. But you also have to understand that you know, in smart meter even the values are higher. So right now, as and when the installation happens, we will see a better capacity utilization happening. So but no specific number probably I can put in right now. But yes, we are eventually looking to make over 1 million smart meters a month. That is how we are looking at. So going forward, that would be the target, and I'm sure we are the kind of automation initiatives and the other things, the capacity expansion what we are doing, I think we would be definitely reaching those figures.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you for that insight. Thank you. All the best to the team.
Yeah. Thanks for
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mudit Kabra for closing comments.
Thank you. We thank Mr. Gautam Seth for giving us an opportunity to host this call. We also thank all the investors and the analysts for joining this call. Any closing remarks, Gautam sir?
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for coming in and for their participation in our conference call today and for joining us in our good journey. So happy Diwali to everyone here, and please have a pleasant evening. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.